Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Carrie, Ben called upstairs to his 12-year-old daughter. We're trying to do the laundry down here for the 10th time. Where are your sheets and towels? Dad, Carrie could hardly conceal her annoyance. I'm busy right now. I'll do it later. Young lady, Ben began. This is later. We have already sorted things and done two loads, and you still haven't brought your things down. Is it too much to expect you to change your sheets and towels once a week and help out with the wash? You do live here, and the last time I checked, you were not registered as a guest. Carrie was heard thumping down the stairs and appeared behind an enormous mound of sheets, towels, and clothes. Okay, she dumped it all in a pile on the floor. You wanted it. Here it is. How come you don't bug Jeremy to bring down his stuff? I'm the only one who does any work around here. From a parent's perspective, how can we produce a peaceful and successful resolution to the family chore wars? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest believes that children need some responsibility for chores in order to feel their value within the family. Dr. Charles Flatter serves as chair of the Department of Human Development, the Institute for Child Study at the University of Maryland, College Park. He has been with the university for more than 35 years. He's been involved with parenting education for most of his career through work in television and the writing of more than 9 books. Dr. Flatter is the father of 3, ages 39, 27, and 24, and currently grandfather of 2, ages 8 and 4. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Flatter.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Why do you think getting children to do chores is so frustrating for so many parents?
Well, I guess the way I might like to begin focusing on the concept here that we're talking about is to talk about even the term chores. To some degree, I think the term chores has a pejorative kind of connotation to it, which suggests work that no one else wants to do. One of the things that parents are interested in for their children as they grow and grow up is to become ultimately responsible adults who can take care of themselves and their own families. So one way to think about chores from my perspective might be to think about them more as responsibility taking. It's more about becoming a responsible citizen within whatever community you are. The community could be the family in this case. So that rather than saying you're not helping with a job no one wants to do, which is in some way the way we view chores, you're helping the family to run more conveniently, more comfortably, and you are assuming a responsibility, and you're becoming a more responsible person.
This sounds like a different kind of approach from today, but it sounds like perhaps a throwback to a couple of generations ago when everybody had to be responsible down on the farm and so forth and so on.
Well, I do think that, you know, the world has changed rather dramatically even in my lifetime. And I think there was no question but what in a more agrarian society there were specific things that had to be done. And there were only a few numbers of people who could do them in any one family. So even in that particular period of time, I would suspect that it wasn't seen so much as a chore as, again, as it was seen as a way of helping the family to function more fully, completely, and with a very responsible outcome for both the family and for the child. In today's world, people are spending more and more time probably away from each other than they are with each other in terms of families. And as a result, there are tasks which must be completed to keep the family going, which no one, parent or child, feels they have the time to do. So in a sense, it may sound like a throwback, but it, in a sense, it's probably very much like that earlier period of time. You must do this to keep the family going. In that period of time, you must do this to keep the family going, and maybe the family in that case represented also the workplace for the parents.
Why do young children enjoy pushing the vacuum cleaner or setting the table? Because they're young and it's fresh and it's new, but yet they get older and they become more resistant to the exact same obligations or responsibilities.
Well, one of the things I feel strongly about, I mean, I'm not sure that I like this term, but I'll use this term, okay? The word is empowerment, and the idea of being, of having evidence or showing yourself that you're growing up and that you're going to become a fully functioning person eventually. So for young children, the pushing of the vacuum, clearing the table, the putting the dishes in the dishwasher, things like that are really very much an empowerment activity for them. As children grow older, as I see it anyway, they probably are not as needful of that kind of empowerment. So the empowerment that they need at that point is to see how the activity that they're being asked to do contributes to the general good and welfare of the total family, as opposed to it's empowering you to do something now that you couldn't do before. I mean, bringing the laundry down, as you mentioned, is not a big task. It may be an important task, but it's not a big task. It doesn't take a lot of skill. But so it needs to be seen as it is the way we keep the family moving, the way you're able to get dressed the next day because the clothes are clean or the clothes have been washed. And I think that that's the way the older children need to be approached. The younger children are always going to be asked and be happy to be asked to do something.
One of my neighbors with 6 children was very shocked when my youngest, who was the same age as her youngest, was not doing his own laundry at the age of 9. And she said, well, that's when they take on that job. They're responsible for their own laundry from then on. And I began to think, how am I going to introduce this now?
Well, it's interesting. That's why you send your kids away to camp.
Yeah, that's where they learn.
They learn
right.
To do a lot of those things, that's
right.
True.
Well, they also learn what other kids do, too, and what other kids are expected to do. I think that's probably very
true. Although all my boys learned very early that, so if you put all the dark stuff with the light stuff, so everything looks a little gray, and they didn't care. And it was very hard for me at that point to say, I care. It doesn't look good. But they didn't care.
They were wearing
underwear. What did they care?
Well, I think the other part of that's being suggested here, too, is that some families, some parents have specific ideas of specific chores at specific ages. And I think it's very hard to identify chores or jobs or responsibilities, whatever we want to call them, as belonging to a particular age or a particular family situation in a particular way. In other words, that 9-year-old that you're talking about, it may be fine in that family. It might not have been fine in your family. But to say you must do it and therefore why aren't you, other parent, doing it, really there's no logic to that. So it is always going to be an individual decision or choice making. The logic is really in terms of helping the child to see how this helps. He wants to be, or she wants to be, a helper. And how does this help him?
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion of children and chores.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Charles Flatter about children and chores. Clueless parents who are just having their first kid hit age 6, age 8, age 9, Are there developmental milestones we can give them? At age 3, a child is old enough to do sorting activities. At age 5, a child is old enough to do this kind of job.
Well, I certainly think there are developmental milestones, and certainly some of these are written in many, many academic materials also as being very important to the child's intellectual development, sorting, for example, being one, categorizing being one. Laundry has always been an easy way to do that. Taking the groceries out of the bag and putting them on the right shelves wherever they go is another. Putting the dishes that go together, the forks together, the knives together, the spoons together, that's all been identified as helping with cognitive and learning development of a child. So my concern, I suspect, mostly is that a parent may hear that and say, this is why I might want to do it. But is that why they are doing it? And that's really what I'm concerned about, making sure that if that's what they're doing the sorting of the laundry for, that they look for evidence that it's working, that the child is learning that kind of ability to put the right things together in the right categories and so on.
What age is sort of an age span would you say that's appropriate for, parents who are wondering, well, then when do we do it?
Yeah. I think a child under the age of 2 is very problematic to be able to be dependable to do anything, partly because physically they're not able, and mostly they're not cognitively able either. When you get in the 3s and 4s is when I think you can really begin, and that's really where you, if you look at what goes on in most preschool programs, that's in the 3s and 4s, that's when they begin to do those kinds of things of categorizing or putting things that go together and seeing how they fit together and all those things. So I would say that the responsibility taking of most children would be starting maybe before 3 with things very simple, like moving the ketchup from the table to the counter next to the refrigerator so the parent can put it in the refrigerator. I think that makes sense when you are pre-3. After 3, I think then you plan those activities which are going to allow the child to see growth, development, intellectually, cognitively, physically, through the activities that they're asking their child to do.
So, for example, a preschooler could sort all the red things in a pile,
right,
and all the blue things, and somebody who's maybe 6 or 7 could find which socks match each other and fold them together.
I never can find which socks match together, but anyway, if anybody can do that, it would be a 6-year-old, I think. But beyond that, I would say yes. I think that as the child progresses from where he or she really would like to be asked to do things to where he or she is really capable of doing more things and more complex things, and then ultimately to where he doesn't want to do them anymore. I mean, this is the progression that I would say 6- and 7-year-olds can do lots of different things like that. And many of them are being asked in today's world to do a multitude of things, but they can do things like separate out mother and father's clothes that belong in this particular basket to go to this particular room versus those that belong to another sibling or whatever. And I think that they are certainly capable of doing that. Folding, matching socks, if we have an underwear drawer and all the underwear goes in one drawer, knowing that you don't just dump the clothes back in, but you put them in a particular place, I think they certainly are capable of doing that. I think that should last for sure as a capability thing for children well into their elementary years, and then you just would expand and extend that to perhaps more complex tasks as they went along. You talked about pushing the vacuum cleaner, and vacuuming is probably a fun thing. I like to vacuum, actually.
Oh, great. Yes. Come to my house, please.
It's fun because you always see the result. And well, I think that's the other thing with children is when they can see the result, I think they get much more invested in it. Mm-hmm. And vacuuming's one of those things. But there are other things around the house. Emptying the trash is not as much fun. Even doing the folding of the laundry is not as much fun. It's tedious and for the older you get. Dusting and those kinds of things can be certainly something a child could do, but again, not as much fun, although there is visibility in that. You do see it, that you got it done, and it looks different than before you started it.
How about kids who are in that middle school age, approaching junior high or whatever it's called in different cities, helping to plan meals or plan what needs to be picked up at the grocery store, and then the teenager, of course, with the car keys jangling, could actually pick them up?
Yeah. No, I am very much also for that. Again, that is going back to that sense of building a place, a responsible place for myself within the family to help the family function more fully and much and better, or without as many problems associated with it. And they should be encouraged to identify what a total meal might consist of. And I think that's certainly a preteen, teen kind of thing. And then what does it take to make that total meal would be an appropriate thing. I think they can begin to develop lists, and those lists of what needs to be purchased have multiple dimensions to it, because not the least of which is you're learning how to spell some things that are... spaghetti is still hard to spell for me. But you have that, and then you have the idea of the things that are so easy to forget until you get home and realize you don't have them. Their memories are oftentimes more attuned to that. They may not have quite as much on their mind as their parents, so they can. But I think, yes, I think that's very appropriate. And then I think it's very appropriate for the teen who has the ability to drive to say, I will go and help the family this way. I think that's very appropriate.
Now, what do you say to parents who are tired of the arguing, they're tired of the nagging, and so they come to the conclusion, why bother? What's wrong with just getting this stuff done myself and saving the aggravation?
Well, I think what I would say mostly to parents in that, with regard to that, is what is your purpose in doing it in the first place? And if your purpose in doing it in the first place was just to get the job done, it is always easier for most of us to do it ourselves. If the purpose was to empower, to help the child become more responsible, then you're going to have to give it the time that it needs for that to happen and not give up on it. Now, there may be times you give up on it just out of pure time crunch alone. But most of the time, I think it is a matter of the parent really reflecting on the why of this. And then the outcome is obvious. But the why I want the child, or why I see the child can do it, or want the child to do it, is important.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion of children and chores.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Charles Flatter about children and chores.
What about the time-honored custom of paying kids for jobs?
Pain's an interesting, a very interesting thing. Most of us go to work every day because somebody pays us, and that is true. And when they stop paying us, except when you're getting close to retirement, you look forward to that. But when they stop paying us, we're not so excited about doing the job sometimes. The problem with pain, as I see it, for chores is that how do you measure what a chore is worth? And then do you base it on the age of the child? And then do you base it on the quality of the work?
Well, see, this is a whole learning experience in labor management negotiations.
It really is. But to me, there is a benefit in establishing an allowance for a child, for instance, because I think out of that they learn to conserve, to save. They also learn to make choices about how they want to spend that money. And every allowance is going to be of a different denomination. I understand that. But whatever it might be, the child has that much he or she can work with. When you pay them for chores, you are essentially employing them. And I do think you have to decide why you want to employ your children. I think that this is one of the really important elements of parenting. I'm really convinced of that, to deal with how your children are, in a sense, used or not used within your life. You have to set, as a parent, a goal for all the things you do with them, but the potential is to use them when you want to use them for the things that you don't want to do or don't have time to do. Mm-hmm. And what you want to be sure that's not what you're doing, because that's not really what you want for your children. What I really want for my children is to have them grow up, and grow responsible. Is what I'm asking them to do, the settings that I'm putting them in, the times that they spend home alone, are all these things helping in that? And in that process of growing up and becoming a responsible adult, because they will be the next set of parents. And they are going to learn most of their parenting from you.
A very frightening thought, isn't it? Before we leave, we have to talk a little bit about resources. Are there any resources that you would recommend?
There are numerous books which are available which talk about the topic of chores. Some of them even use the name in their title. What I think is the biggest resource in dealing with this issue is you and whoever the significant other that might be helping you raise this child, thinking what it is that you are attempting to accomplish relative to the child's growth and development. So resources might include materials that are written specifically about chores and paying for chores, but I also would encourage the resource of books on child development, in which you begin to look at what your child is like at a particular age from a developmental standpoint, what kinds of tasks, responsibilities, or activities are going to foster further and more development for your child. And I truly, truly believe that parents are benefited by reading as often and as much as they can, and then sharing with their significant other, and then sharing with other people who have children of the same age their thinking.
It's a good reality check, isn't it?
It's a good reality check. And that's probably our biggest problem with parenting, period. It's not that there are right or wrong answers. What it really is that there is thinking or no thinking about it. And I would rather to have parents think it through, talk it through, make a conscious decision about what they're doing relative to their children.
I think, as we say in just about every issue we talk about, the stress is on share with other adults, especially share with other parents. When my neighbor said her daughter was doing her laundry at 9 and that all the elder 5 children had done that, that had just never occurred to me. It wasn't that my child probably wasn't capable of doing it, but in my wildest imagination, I had never heard of that before.
Right.
By sharing with other parents, you at least learn. You don't have to always do it, as you said.
Right. And I, as a parent and a grandparent, a much older person now at this point, am certainly going to do a lot of things that were done in my house when I was a child. And so it's hard not to say, well, you may never have heard of that because it didn't happen when you were a child.
It happened in my house.
Right.
But that didn't mean
But
that
when
it
you
couldn't.
Heard it from someone else, then it was an eye-opening opportunity for you to say, well, maybe I should consider that.
Well, you have given all of us an eye-opening opportunity today to learn a whole lot more about raising children with responsibility in the family. So, Dr. Charles Flatter, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 191. Tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We are glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.